Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio with New Beginnings Ministry. I'm Suzanne Hawthorne Clay, and my husband is John Clay, and we're here with you this evening to share the Word. This is an interactive Bible study, And we welcome all to come in and listen and sit down at the table with us via their telephone or their computer. It's interactive, meaning that we share, we discuss, and we rightly divide the word. We praise the Lord for this opportunity again to be here. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to begin with this evening by me introducing our speaker, our guest speaker, who is Dr. Mary Jo Odom-Dull. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Dr. Mary Jo Odom-Dull is the CEO and founder of Vassell Learning Incorporated and CEO of Tower of Grace and Compassion, chairwoman and chief training officer of the Organization for Abused and Battered Individuals located in Trinidad and Tobago. In addition, she is the chairwoman of VASCO, of the VASCO Center. She's the creator of the first multicultural learning theory. Dr. Odom-Dull, Vassell, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which stands for, the acronym stands for Valuing Ethno-Cultural Strategies, which includes learning enhancement. Learning approach theory. This learning approach theory has opened doors to learning within multicultural learning environments. As a strategic visionary whose distinguished efforts also focus in the areas of education, human performance, and quality improvement. Dr. Odom-Dull's various accomplishments and businesses can be seen as she is renowned for turning around failing multi-million dollar corporations. In addition, she is a Wisconsin Forward Quality Award examiner, peer reviewer for universities such as Johns Hopkins University and others, and this is part of her commitment to lifelong learning. As a subject matter expert and business consultant, she continues to promote quality improvement. Furthermore, she is an author and has written many journal articles, a notable quality improvement and motivational speaker. She sits on several organizations' boards of directors and hosts the Tower of Grace and Compassion Global Radio Show. A university professor recognized and awarded in the areas of business, education, and volunteerism. Awarded as a woman in history, making a societal difference, and international woman in leadership. As a pioneer, Dr. Odom-Dull continues to make strides in business and humanitarian accomplishments. A PhD in training and performance improvement with specialization in globalization, postdoctoral certification, and work with Northwestern University in professional program development and grant communication. Additional postdoctoral certifications in counseling, biblical studies, and global studies, master's in education, graduate certifications in leadership, human resource management and diversity studies, a BS BA in business management and BS BA in human resource management are just a few of her educational accomplishments. In addition, she is a Six Sigma Black and Lean DFSS belt, certification in children's stories writing, and over 23 certifications from the Department of Justice related to victims of violence, human trafficking, and abuse. Committed to her faith, fascinated and passionate about serving others, and recognized as a humanitarian, the daily asked and answered question of her life is, what role can I play in being a light and contributing to the greatness of this individual? Dr. Odom-Dull states, I am grateful that God still allows me the opportunity to serve. I am a work in progress, and the master potter is still molding and fixing me. I am working towards running the race assigned to me, and my most challenging goals, which includes always putting God first in everything, give thanks, always being a light with a message of hope, and staying humble in spite of achievement. God has blessed me and his unfailing love for me, never ceasing to amaze me. Dr. Mary Jo Odom Dahl is a mother of two sons. Her hobbies include watching old movies, traveling, and fashion designing. Please join me in welcoming our guest speaker this evening, Dr. Mary Jo Odom Dahl. Are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Okay, our theme this evening, our topic is diversity. And I'm going to turn the mic over to you to, if you would open us up with, start us with prayer and just lead us on a journey, the journey that the Lord has given you to take us on. Thank you.
Are you, am I going to open up or are you opening? Hello?
I'm here.
You can open up.
Father, you can open up.
Oh, okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name we humbly come before you, Father God, knowing that any time that we get an opportunity to speak your word, we ask that you hide our flesh behind the cross and go forward, Lord. Deliver the message in which you have felt that would need to be delivered to your people and for all. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to speak and encourage others. It is in Jesus' name we thank you and ask all things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, today I wanted to, and am I leading it, the question, or do you want to, you wanted to have it as an open discussion?
Well, what we usually do is our guest speaker will speak on their topic, and if anyone has questions, they may chime in, or you may pause if you have questions, or you can wait for questions at the end.
Oh, okay. Well, the one thing we wanted to talk about was diversity, and the one thing that comes to mind is Martin Luther King's statement, that we can learn to fly in the air like birds and swim like fish, but we have yet to learn how to the simple art of living together as brothers. And I think that is so true, especially in the Christian community, where it's historically it is ingrained consciously and subconsciously that race is a topic that cannot or should not be discussed. The Christian community is the most segregated of all hierarchy systems. And it's unfortunate because there is power and beauty in the variable of diversity. It can be challenging, but since the beginning of time, the power of unity can be even seen as it was introduced in the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. And, of course, we can further explore how the power of diversity in the Trinity itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why our Lord had told us that the beauty and the power of being one in the body of Christ. Although we are saved individually, collectively we serve. And we must understand that in that collective serving our Lord, there is going to be diversity. And understanding how diversity, how we interact with one another is a crucial element. The dirty hidden secret in diversity issues that exist within a Christian community has even cost Christian organizations and churches billions of dollars, damaged reputations, and disruptive relationships with even the local people within the community. Moreover, it actually the lack of understanding in the diversity issues actually has an impact and has cost some people psychologically their psychological well-being, especially in the Christian community where we actually walk in and enter and expect love within there. We don't expect to be discriminated. we don't expect that. And however, the good thing about that is, as with our God, all scriptures are inspired and beneficial for teaching and reproving and even setting things straight. So our Lord always leads us to examples. And one thing he did lead us an example of Paul and Peter, where Paul actually had to reprimand Peter for being biased. But the one good thing is our Lord always shows us the example. Even when we make a mistake, he shows us the example, because Jesus was radically inclusive during that time. I mean, he was so inclusive that he actually received backlash for not just from the people, but even the disciples itself. Multicultural awareness is something that we have to, as a Christian community, move towards. Our social interaction amongst God's people should be void of bias. Now, we recognize that there is a history. There is always a history of bias. Even biblically, there is a history of bias towards people. But Christ says that we should be free from bias. That doesn't mean that we are going to be perfect, but our verbal and nonverbal message should be welcoming from a perspective of God's truth. And that means that we have to come from a perspective of love. Is it humanly possible to be free from bias? It's really not. The only exception is God. That where we fall short, we have to come back. Where we missteps, we will have to correct. That means we have to prevent this by learning how to just actually respect one another's differences. And this is something that, as a Christian, especially in this day and age, where it appears to be such a increased of or epidemic of hatred and anger, we have to be the example that being one in the body of Christ. I heard one example was that the only community that is unable to unite is the Christian community.
Wow.
That the enemy has his people working in legions, and in legions you have to work together. We're the only ones that are having a difficult time with this, working together. And it doesn't mean that we can't work towards improving or overcoming these barriers. But what it does means that we have to take a strategic approach. And that approach goes to the scriptures of that there's neither Greek, slave, nor free, male or female.
Amen.
For we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives specific instructions. And the one instruction he gives us is to go in the world and preach the good news to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say there was you had a choice on which race you're going to preach to. He said to everyone. And in order to do that, you have to be comfortable enough to have that type of exposure. That means that we can't be segregated any longer. We have to go through different corridors and pathways to understanding and work towards a multicultural environment, which means that we have to address our own biases. We are all born with our own biases. It's taught from us, from every ethnocultural group, whether we choose to admit it or not. But we are called to a holy life.
Amen.
And we are saved by his grace. And only through that grace can we move towards unity in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we have to create a clearer picture of embracing diversity and how diversity can influence our organization. Yo-Yo Ma once said that our cultural strength has always been derived from our diversity of understanding and experiencing. When you learn something from people or from culture, you accept it as a gift. And that's so true, that our differences is a gift. We must acknowledge the distinctive differences, but we have to move beyond that, and we have to appreciate that. Black is only beautiful if it's biblical. White is only right if it agrees with holy writing.
Amen.
And tan is only grand if the glory is in front of it. And all of this means that we must work towards putting Christ first. We don't get, when we are chosen and we walk this path, we don't get the chance to walk in front of the glory. We have to follow the cloud. And the cloud says that we must, our growth and our true power as a Christian body must be in being one in the body of Christ. Therefore, as Christians, we must even approach diversity from a sensitive and gentle perspective. That means I understand that you are different. I'm different too. But love says that we're going to have to find a way to get along. The beautiful thing I think about Christ is that and his instruction for us to love our neighbor is that love isn't optional. We don't have a choice. And sometimes when we recognize that we don't have the choice, then we have to work and come up with a way. We have to figure this thing out. And it may be taking the time out to take diversity classes or ask the questions. I think all of us, especially from a minority community, are more receptive to folks asking than actually projecting stereotypes, because we're all different. We're all different within our own race.
Amen.
But we also have to understand the history of this. People of color have been weighed through the muck and mire of legacies of racism, prejudice, oppression. And we have to understand the gospel was part of that. And unfortunately, the history of the Middle Passage, slavery, Jim Crow, and all the other injustices against ancestors were all in the name of Christianity. Therefore, it is important as Christians for us to consider these things as we look into diversity. We have to look at it from God's plan. And that is how we address diversity, is actually moving from our own individual plan, understanding that, creating some self-assessment, and understanding our proficiency and our weakness in the area of diversity, and move towards a Christ-centered perspective. And I didn't know if you want me to go further. You can stop me whenever you want to stop me on this.
No, go.
Yes. Well, one thing I do recommend, for especially for Christian organizations, there are several different areas in which we as Christians can actually do that within our own church. There are things that I call the Dr. Odom Dahl's reactionary behavior to multicultural environments. The first thing is, I think that we have a tendency to create a swarm. That means if all the people are of the same ethnocultural race and a different person enters into the environment, it is that swarming like a bee to show that that person is free of bias, which is something that we should try to avoid in a Christian community. And then we have our drill squats when we're working or trying to move closer into being multicultural, and you have that one person of a different ethnicity that it's almost like you are drilling the person and questioning them. And this approach forces the person to select, to be either feel uncomfortable in God's house. And then we have the continuous looks. If we are as a Christian body, we don't need to, if different people walk or enter into the Christian environment, we don't need to constantly stare to scrutinize a visitor.
Amen.
And we have to also understand how our body language and volume actually creates reactionary behavior in multicultural environments. And the one thing, as we move towards multiculturalism in the Christian environment, we must understand that our body language and our volume and tone actually impacts, plays a role in how our interaction will go within the Christian environment and how our interaction with others influence their behavior. So we must understand that we are moving, and that means that we're going to, as a Christian environment, Christians, we have to do a great deal of self-assessments. And that great deal of self-assessment means asking questions, asking the questions that normally we wouldn't ask. And that is my behavior actually contributing to a negative environment? Or am I biased? And sometimes we don't want to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because sometimes we are. And that is understandable. Because racism and classism is something that has been around a lot longer than most of us. It is, there's a history, and it is passed down. There's generational paranoia that exists. We are, especially in many minority community, what goes on in the house stays on in the house, and that is seen across. And African-Americans, Hispanic, Asian cultures are predominantly the cultures that paranoia exists. And therefore, sometimes when there is an environment which is welcoming, there is a question. Is this person okay or safe? And there is the statement that the French philosopher Voltaire said that prejudice is what fools use for reasoning. And that is exactly what we do when we are not comfortable with something or someone. We use bias as a form of reason. And we have to move out of that. Because that is no part, that cannot play a role in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That we have to move, and as leaders and pastors and worshipers, even if there is a lack of diversity, we can still create an environment and which is welcoming to all. So sometimes people say, well, we don't have the opportunity because this one church may be of a specific ethnocultural group. But even with that, we still have to recognize or acknowledge if that particular organization or church is welcoming. If a person from a different ethnocultural group enters into that environment, will it be perceived as welcoming? And we have to move towards being even free from bias, more so by practicing ways in which there's a saying, fake it until you make it. Well, that's exactly what we're going to have to do until you can move into a place where you are welcoming to all. And love flows. And there's nothing more wonderful than to see a person who's even willing to smile. Mm-hmm. A person who is willing to, a smile is something that welcomes all.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that as Christians we must get into to a habit of doing. The one thing our Lord advises that we have to love our neighbor. And then loving our neighbor, that neighbor in keeping the Great Commission, a person has to be approachable. Mm-hmm. And these are simple things that we can do in the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 5:14, the one thing he says, greet one another with a kiss. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And I look at the multicultural environment in which some churches are now moving towards, and that's the one thing we have to be able to do. In order to greet one another with a kiss, you have to be approachable. Mm-hmm. So we have to start with simple things. And maybe a smile is something, you know, you may not know how to move towards becoming more diverse and welcoming diversity, but it could just start off with a smile. And if you start off with a smile, something simple, you can move from there, because it says that I'm open. And you want, if the joy of the Lord is your strength, then it should be show on your face. And we should look in the mirror and immediately not forget what we see, as in James 1:23 and 24. We should look in the mirror and actually take a true assessment of who we are in Christ, and are we moving towards diversity, and are we actually keeping the most important commandment of loving our neighbors, and are we strategically doing self-assessments and doing things that help us to embrace diversity.
Amen.
That's good. That's
good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. So true.
And I think that a lot of people are afraid of diversity. They're afraid to grasp it. I've heard people say to the nature, I don't want to worship with them because they're black, or I don't want to worship with them because they're white or Hispanic. Mm-hmm. But my point is that, you know, we are all God's people.
Amen.
God made and created all of us. We all come from Adam and Eve. And I think that somehow people in the churches are going to have to realize that we are all people. And just because my skin color is different or I look a different way than somebody else or something to that nature, we all have to understand that when we get to glory, if you say you're going to heaven, there's no diversity up there. You know, we'll all be sitting around God's throne, hopefully. But we do, and the thing you were saying about smiling and allowing people to see you open, sometimes I think I smile too much. But I do believe in greeting somebody with a smile, or greeting somebody with a nice handshake, or even a brisk hug, you know, to open up or to open them up and to let them know that, that you're there, you know, no matter what. But I do believe that we as people have to come together some kind of way and grasp and hold to one another.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
I think a lot of it has to do with
what's
in
the background.
Okay.
Y'all hear me? Static. Yeah.
We gotta locate what static is.
I have to agree with you because heaven isn't segregated, and this is where we get to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing C.S. Lewis said that with the possible exception of the equator, everything begins somewhere. And the one thing
Amen.
Our Lord says that in order for it to be, him to be in the midst of it, it must produce the fruit, the kind of fruits.
Amen.
And love, joy, and peace, and patience.
There it is.
And kindness and goodness and faith.
That's it.
Faithfulness
mm-hmm.
cannot exist in an environment in which there is exclusion when God
mm-hmm.
said there should be inclusion.
So
right. if love isn't there, even if you are saying, well, I don't want to worship with them, well, you're not worshiping anyway to the God that who is the definition of love itself.
Yeah,
how do you
right.
how do you close your arms when we
mm-hmm.
serve a God who was on the cross with his arms wide open?
Wide open, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you, anyone, you don't get to make the exception. You don't get to make the rule. So even if a person says that I don't like to do that, then there is a problem with that person.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is. And, I don't understand how anybody could even think on that wise if they call themselves Christians. I don't even see how anybody can think that way. You know, I think love is a beautiful thing, you know, and people are beautiful people no matter what. Like I said before, you know, God made and created all of us in his image and after his likeness.
And
I guess I'm just one of those people that's just a down home country boy that has a way of just opening up to just about any and everybody. But I thank God that he gave me the spirit to do that, because you touch a lot of people's lives, I think, when you open up to them and let them know that you are a Christian and that you are open to listen to them and talk to them and don't mind what they look like. I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Paul Robinson, and I'm out of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. It's good to be back on tonight. Praise God.
But I like what you're saying, Doctor. This is so good. And that part about a smile being welcoming, I know that to be true because, you know, sometimes in our churches, we're so frowned up in our faces that just a smile is like a soothing music. It's like soothing music. It opens an individual up, and you don't know what an individual is going through when they come to the doors of the church. And if we have that welcoming spirit, that spirit that says, come in, sit down, let's break bread, the word of God together.
Yeah.
without looking at you like you have two heads or something. One thing I know is that we know that the kingdom of God is colorblind. And the only thing that God recognizes is the blood. There should be nothing. When we look at people, we should see the blood.
That's right.
When we look at people, we should have that love of Christ. And what you're saying here, Doctor, today, we do need to take some self-inventory of how our body moves and how we project love or project ourselves in bringing people in. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bring them in. And we can't do that if we have barriers up. Or if we're so apprehensive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you know,
I appreciate what you just
hello?
I'm sorry. I appreciate what you said about the barriers. And another issue is that we're supposed to go out into the world.
Yes.
And spread the, you know, and preach the gospel. We're supposed to share the word of God, share Jesus with all of those that we know. So if you're in the marketplace, if you're at work, on the job, and being able to, having the, maybe a boldness, but to invite not only those that are, that you can relate to, that may come from the same traditions or culture that you come from, but crossing the color line. Some people are just waiting for an invitation. They're just waiting for an invitation. You talk about church all the time at work. You know, you're in your neighborhood, they see you going to church every Sunday. They see you getting dressed up. Mm-hmm. But people who have not been churched or people who aren't familiar with your culture, they just want an invitation. And if you extend your hand and say, how about coming with me? They know that they're welcome there. They know that they'll be welcome there. And plus, even if it is a culture, even if they're walking into something where they're the only person of that particular culture, you know, one way or another, they'll feel comfortable because they trust you. Because they can trust you, they've watched you, you've invited them, you've taken their hand, and you're walking them into worship to tell them about this Jesus that you celebrate, this Jesus that you talk about. Or, you know, so it's really important for us not only to carry ourselves as Christians in the church when people do come in, but we have to remember those people that are outside the church, in the grocery store, on the job, in the neighborhood, you know, the children in the neighborhood. Invite them to church. Come go to church with me. I'll pick you up, you know. So.
Amen.
You know, one thing I do try to express to my people is that service to God is not just inside those four walls.
Amen.
Service to God is outside of those four walls. In our church, we have, here in South Pittsburgh, we have four doors. And I've made signs and put over each door, and I let them know that they are entering the mission field when they exit those doors. The mission field is not within the church, and I think a lot of people get it mixed up when they say, I'm going to church to serve God. But when you are out from amongst the church building, then I think that you should, as you said earlier, invite people to come to church, because people don't know. I've heard this said, and I've heard it said that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And until we extend a heartfelt welcome to the people outside of the church. I mean, I've invited people to church, you know, whether they go or not, it's just the fact that you invited them. You know, and I think that opens another door to it. And as you said earlier, Minister, about the barriers, the frowns that we wear to church are barriers. You know what I mean? People will come into your church, and if you're frowned up, they're not going to want to be bothered with you. You know? Nobody wants to go into a church where they're not, where they don't feel welcome, and they don't feel loved, and they don't feel wanted, appreciated, or needed. You know, or they don't even feel accepted. You know, nobody want to be bothered with that, because a lot of people have said, you know, I can get this same cold shoulder outside the church, so why should I come into the church and get it? You know, I don't know. Diversity is a big thing in our churches, and we need to find some kind of way to tie those barriers down. And I think it begins, again, it could begin with me, you know, being the pastor of the church. You know, it can begin right here with me to start tearing those barriers down and make people feel the way they want to be felt when they enter the house of God.
Okay, doctor, we want more, doctor. More.
The pastor, and I didn't give his name. That is, he made such a wonderful point, and that's where it starts. It actually starts from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
It's leaders must create an environment that is linked to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Members must feel free enough to enter into that environment and know that there is going to be that God's love, it's going to be there, that unfailing
Amen.
Love. And
yes.
what by doing it or starting from the pulpit, it creates social learning. That means I get to watch
okay.
you show that I'm valuable because of the cross. So
yeah.
I don't have an option to mistreat you. And that is where it starts. And by reinforcing it with scriptural support. So if you say, this is not my word, this is God's word. So if you have a problem with it, you take it up with him.
Yes.
But we stand on by the cross, and there is no exception. And that also means creating also an environment. I do this for pastors. I will go into the church and say, if it is an environment in which it's conducive to a multicultural environment. And sometimes what I find is there are certain things even within the environment that says that, no, it's only one race that is welcome here. There'll be plaques on the wall that'll say, you know, for the fighting Irish, every
That's
day
so
is
true.
Black History Month.
So
that
true.
Says that there's only one race that lives here, going to be here.
That's
and
good.
It's also when they walk into, people walk in, it is conducive to see by the reaction. And those reaction is you can tell if a church is not used to multicultural environments. And that is the continuous looks, the drill squad of why are you here, who are you here, who invited you. It's as
mm-hmm.
if the person has to go through a job interview to sit down in the church. And usually people enter into a church at their lowest point.
Yeah.
So
yes.
if you actually
yes.
enter into God's house, that is how we come. We are God's scandalous choices. And
mm-hmm.
that means we have hit rock bottom, and
mm-hmm.
there is no way up but God and Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the only way, and when we enter into the environment, the last thing we need is the racial element.
Yes, yes.
So, and I've had pastors who said, I've had mm-hmm. a couple of people of different ethnicity enter, and they never come back. Well, what it says, and I tell them what it says is you haven't done what you needed to do to make sure that this your congregation, your sheep is aware that everyone is welcome in there. And that
yeah.
means that sometimes creating groups within your church to handle that,
mm-hmm.
small
yeah.
groups. So
yeah.
if you see someone of a different ethnicity come in, that is your point person. They will guide and move in a direction where that person feels safe and not feel to be at a risk of being maybe possibly humiliated
mm-hmm.
through the series of questions and mm-hmm. looks and
yeah.
reactionary environment. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes even in multicultural church, they have problems because it's almost
right.
like the work
right.
environment where they create clusters. So if you
uh-huh.
see after church everyone of a different ethnicity, everyone separating into their own groups, you still have a problem, even
yes,
if, if it's a multicultural environment.
That's
that
good.
Means I don't feel
mm-hmm.
safe enough to even interact. So
yeah.
it's not necessarily with one group. It can actually occur in a multicultural church.
That's right. And, you know, Doctor, I am so glad that God answered my prayer when I asked him if I was to be a pastor, would he make me a pastor of a multiracial church? And I am so glad of that because, you know, we don't see that at our church, the separation of, blacks in this huddle talking and whites in this huddle talking. Fellowship is when we all come together
yes.
and talk and share and do things. And we do have a small group discipleship within our church. I am affiliated with the AME Zion Church, and we do have a small group discipleship training. And I have a class that I'm training now, and they are multiracial. And that's the way I think it should be, you know. I shouldn't feel out of place if I'm going into where you say this is God's house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shouldn't feel out of place nor should anybody feel out of place when they come into our church. I have a lot of white friends say, "Do y'all have white people come to y'all church?" I'm like, man, I got white members, you know. Don't let that hold you back, whether we did or not. You know, you are welcome to come in to God's house and fellowship and sing. You can sing or you can play music, whatever. You know, we come to worship the Lord, the maker and the creator of heaven and earth, the one that sits high and looks low. That's who we are there for, the one who gave up his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for wretched souls like ours. That's why we're here, and we're not here for anything else.
And that's what God wants in the Christian community. He wants us to build these churches that when the world is going, which it is, going crazy like it is, they should be
uh-huh.
able to come in and have
come
a place
in.
Of refuge and
uh-huh.
basically an oasis, a place where they don't have to feel threatened, but loved, embraced. And that's
yeah.
where God, and I love this topic because that's where we need to be. We need to be in and create that type of love, create that type of environment. That's all I got to say. We do.
But you know, we got so many.
Excuse me, we do.
We've got so
we
many.
We do. We really need
in
to take inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, you have to keep in mind, you know, you're talking about building a church or putting up a building, we use blueprints. And make sure everything is structurally sound, the foundation is together. But anyway, as far as the church is concerned, our blueprint is actually the Bible. And that sense of love and the cornerstone of the church being put together, it has to be something that is a part of us. And we have to constantly be aware of everything that we say, everything that we do. We are representing God, and we have to ask ourselves,
that's
what
right.
does Jesus do in this situation? If we can find ourselves facing situations where we're uncomfortable, we have to move out of our comfort zone, some of the difference, they might be blind, they could be deaf, or they could be black, or it could be anything. that we feel uncomfortable with, but we have to make sure that sense of love comes across. If we're going to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus and of love, we have to put aside what our natural feelings are. When a baby is born, he does not demonstrate any hatred towards any particular group. Everything he acquires, he learns. One time that does not exist, is when a person is dead, in the graveyard. You don't see people in the graveyard demonstrating hatred and stuff like that. But it's in between the birth and the deceased body, that they're demonstrating and learning positive or negative behavior. So we have to be very cognizant of what we say, how we deal with people, how we treat them. We, judge and be not judged. Let God be the one to judge. Our responsibility is to have love for our brothers and to spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
All right, doctor.
I like the idea of what the doctor said. The thing that I heard that I think was key to me was when you have a church that is not multicultural, that you should be prepared that when someone comes in and they are different, they're point people, they're small groups. And that is their job to make sure that they are comfortable. I thought that was vital. And being small groups, their job was to make sure anyone that came in, they have a point people to make sure that they're comfortable.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. That's good.
Doctor.
That's good.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. This was Dr. Mary Jo Odom-Doe, and we truly appreciate your sharing with us this evening, and we invite you to join us again. I also want to say that she is a friend of mine.
Amen.
A trusted friend. And I totally respect her. I appreciate her knowledge, her expertise. And I want to say that if you cannot tell by her voice, that she is one of the kindest and most humble women that I know.
Amen.
And thank you again for joining us this evening and sharing this valuable, valuable word on diversity. Very timely, very timely. Thank you.
Sound like it needs a part two.
Thank you, and it's been a true pleasure.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to close with prayer real quick, and our music's going to start probably while I'm praying. But Father God, we praise your name, and we thank you, Lord, for the word gone forth this evening. We thank you, Father God, and for the time that we've all spent together in fellowship over the phone, Father God, over the wire. Father God, in the airways, dear Lord, but nonetheless, we feel so close to one another, Father God, and even a bit closer to you. We thank you, Father God, that this word is going to fall on dry soil, but on fertile soil, Father God, and that it takes root, Father God, that we would be conscious of our interaction with one another, Father God, and be quick, Father God, to reach out to those, Father God, that may be different than us, Father God. Quick, Lord, to minister your word, Father God, to all those that we come in contact with. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for Dr. Mary Jo Odom-Doe, Father God. You have a special blessing for she and her household, Father God, that she would be abundantly blessed. We thank you in Jesus' sweet and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Once again, we do thank you for tuning in. Remember, God, we love you, but God loves you most. Every day is a new beginning. God bless you. Until next week.
He lost his feet from the shadow.